Fam, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, and this afternoon to begin our time in God's Word, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 20, and we're really just going to continue where we left off from our study last Sunday, and we're going to continue to look at the birth of Jesus and the events surrounding the birth of the Lord. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 15, and we'll read all the way down to verse 20. And when you have it, fam, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. And I think only Brother Jesse got it, amen. I don't know what happened to everybody else. Praise God for Brother Jesse, amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, amen, fam. Amen. All right, let's read all the way down to verse 20. This is what the Word of God declares. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen, fam. We'll pause right there. This is the Word of God, and all of God's people declares amen, amen. God bless you, fam. Thank you. This afternoon, fam, I've titled my message, our study, simply The Shepherds. The Shepherds. And really what we're going to do is we're just going to continue looking and talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you recall, chapter 2 begins with Luke recording for us the birth of Christ, and he tells us that literally Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem from Nazareth, and as they arrived in Bethlehem, just like it was prophesied in the Old Testament, Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus, to the Messiah. And literally, the picture we find there is a picture of humility and a picture of meekness and really a picture of God's grace, that literally Jesus, the Messiah, was born in a manger, for Luke tells us that there was no room for him, that literally there was no room for him in the inn, or there was no room for him anywhere else. And so in a manger, we would say equivalent today, in a barn amongst animals and amongst smelly hay and smelly food, Jesus, Messiah, was born into this world. And then last Sunday we continued and we saw how that same night when Jesus was born, Luke told us that there was shepherds who were keeping watch of their flock at a field nearby Bethlehem. We know this field as the Shepherd's Field. And as they were keeping watch, Luke tells us that an angel appeared to them. And really the angel appeared to them to announce the good news of the birth of Jesus. And just quickly, by way of review, look at verse 11. Verse 11 there in Luke chapter 2. Because this was the message that the angel brought to the shepherds that first Christmas day. And really, really, this is the message of Christmas. For there we read, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God kept his promise. God fulfilled his word in the Old Testament. And sure enough, God sent Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can look with me in verses 13 and 14, immediately after the good news, this announcement of the birth of Jesus, Luke tells us that all of a sudden, with the angel, appeared a multitude of the heavenly host. And we said last week that the idea there is a heavenly army, that literally millions and millions of angels appeared in the sky, and literally they begin to worship God, and they begin to declare glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The angels in heaven, they saw God fulfill his plan of salvation, his plan of redemption. They saw what God was doing, and it was just too much for them. It was overwhelming. And so they literally left the courts of heaven and they entered this dimension, this time and space dimension that we know as earth. And they began to just worship God. There's an explosion of worship, of praise, of thanksgiving for what God did through the birth of his son. And if you recall, we said that if the angels can worship God in this way, how much more us? How much more should we, those who have been redeemed, those who have been saved by Jesus, how much more should we worship God? Because at the end of the day, Jesus didn't come to save angels. Jesus didn't shed his blood to redeem angels. Angels know a lot of things, but they don't know what it feels like to be forgiven, and they don't know what it feels like to be redeemed, and they don't know what it feels like to be a drug addict and an alcoholic and a liar and to be transformed and changed by the power of God. They have never, and they will never have that experience. Only us, the church, the redeemed. And if they can worship God like this, how much more should we worship God? How much more should we be on fire for God? How much more should we be committed to Jesus? Jesus saved us. And for me, that's what it always comes down to. Jesus saved my life. He transformed me. I was blind, now I can see. I was dead, now I am alive in Christ. I had no hope, now I have a living hope through Jesus and through the gospel. And how am I not going to be committed for you? How am I not going to be on fire by the grace of God for the Lord? Nobody has done for us what Jesus has done for us. Absolutely nobody. And if there's no excitement, if there's no commitment, if there's no passion, if there's no worship for Jesus, then the chances are you have never received anything from him. Because all those who are saved by Jesus, their greatest desire is to worship him and to serve. And so we've been looking at the birth of Jesus and the events that followed his birth. And really, fam, in verse 15, Luke is going to dedicate one more section to the birth of Christ. And now he's going to share with us the response of the shepherds. Now he's going to share with us what the shepherds did after they received the message concerning the birth of Messiah. And so this afternoon, we're going to just focus on these shepherds, and we're going to focus on their response to the good news of Christmas. And so let's begin, fam. I got a few headings I want to share with you that we see and learn from our text. And we're not going to take too long this afternoon because we will be partaking of communion today. But let's begin, and let's begin at the beginning. Look with me again there in verses 15 and 16, there in Luke chapter 2. In the first heading, the first thing we see here is the encounter with Jesus, the encounter that these shepherds had with Jesus. And let me share with you what I mean. Let's read those verses again, verses 15 and 16. There we read, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and then notice, and the baby lying in a manger. And let's pause right there, fam. And so the first thing we see here in our text is the encounter these shepherds had with Jesus. And really, this is the picture. This is what happened after receiving the good news of the birth of Jesus, of Messiah's coming into this world from the angel. Luke tells us that immediately the shepherds stopped what they were doing, and they literally stopped looking after their sheep. And immediately with haste, they said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and let us see with our own eyes everything that has taken place. And so literally they go to Bethlehem. And the idea is that they seek and they search and they look for Jesus until they find him. They don't have a star to guide them, or the angel is no longer with them to point the way. But the angel just told them, listen, you're going to find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and you will find him lying in a manger. And so with that simple description as their guide, these shepherds immediately go to Bethlehem, and they're looking and they're searching the child for the child until they find him. And just like the angel said, they found him lying in a manger. And so really this is the idea here. These shepherds, they're not satisfied with simply hearing about Jesus, but they want to have an encounter with him personally, intimately. They want to know him. They want to seek him. They want to find him. And they simply don't want to hear about him. And that's the idea here. These shepherds, they want to see Messiah. They want an encounter with Jesus. For them, it's more than just simply hearing about Jesus, but they want to know him. They want to see him. They want to experience Jesus personally. Personally, how many people have heard about Jesus and have heard the stories about Jesus and have heard the name of Jesus, but never have gotten to know him personally? How many have never had an encounter with Jesus? Many hear about Jesus. Many know the story of Jesus. Many know the story of the birth of Jesus, of the death of Jesus. Many come to church and they'll sit down and they'll hear a Bible study, or they'll hear a sermon, and they know about Jesus. They have this knowledge of Jesus, but they never get to know him personally. They never have an encounter with him. They never seek him. In other words, they never get the knowledge and apply it to their heart. It's just head knowledge. It stays up here, But it never gets down here to the heart. And that's why there's no change. That's why there's no transformation. That's why everything remains the same, because all they have is a head knowledge. And there's no heart knowledge. But let me say this. Jesus wants us to get to know him personally. Jesus wants us to have an encounter with him. Jesus wants us to know more than just words. But he wants us to know him personally. He wants us to experience his presence, his power, his reality. Jesus wants us to have an encounter with him. That's what Jesus wants. That's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for a personal relationship with us. And we have to be so careful, because at times the danger is to think that it's sufficient to just hear about him. Even us as believers, even us who have had encounters with Christ, who have had a salvation encounter with Christ, the danger is to think that you know, as long as I hear about him, as long as I go to church and sit down, and as long as I'm just there, I did my job. That is just so dangerous, because it's more than just being here. Because a lot of times people are here, but they're not really here. You know, their mind is there, where their thoughts are ever, and you're sitting, but this is the farthest place that you're at. And it's more than just sitting. It's more than just hearing. It's a transformation. It's an encounter. It's getting to know Jesus personally. That you would have an encounter with Christ, that you would allow Jesus to enter your life. That it wouldn't just be dating him on Sunday, but that you would make a commitment and marry him. That he would be your heavenly husband, and you would become his bride. And God is looking for relationship, an encounter with us. God wants to transform us. God wants to change us. God wants to renew our mind, and he wants to do that every day. Every day, God wants to be with you. God wants you to know him, to encounter him, to experience his reality, his presence. Oh, fam, God is more real than us. God is more real than anything we see, than anything we feel or taste or touch. God is the source of everything. God is creator. And he wants us to get to know him personally. And that's the exhortation. Be like these shepherds and get to know him personally. Encounter him. Experience him. Seek him. Every day, it's more than head knowledge. Bring the head knowledge down and put it in your heart. Experience his presence. Experience the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. And these shepherds, they weren't satisfied with the angel's message. And that's something that stands out to me so much, because many, they would have just been satisfied with the angel's message. They would have said, wow, we just saw the angel, and man, we just heard this message. We heard this heavenly choir. That was amazing. That impacted me. But that's enough. That's enough. And many would have stopped right there. Many would have said, okay, that's enough. We've had enough today. But these shepherds, they were like, we want Jesus. This angel is nice, and this heavenly choir is okay. It's special, but we want Messiah. We want to get to know Messiah. I want to see, I want to experience Jesus. And that has to be our attitude. Don't be satisfied until you know Jesus, until you experience Jesus. Nothing will change in your life until you know Jesus personally, until you experience him. You need an encounter with Jesus. You need to surrender your life to him. You need to walk with him every day. Every day there has to be communion, there has to be relationship, there has to be trust and confiding in him. Every day we need Messiah, and we need to be like the shepherds. Don't be satisfied until you have an encounter with Jesus. Now, let's continue. The second thing now I want us to look at is the wonder. The wonder, or we would say the amazement at the message of the shepherds. Look now with me in verses 17 and 18, because we're told this. And when they saw it, and the idea is when they saw Messiah, when they saw the manger, when they saw this scene of the birth of Jesus, immediately notice what Luke says, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And so literally they left and they began to share. They began to testify. They begin to tell others that this baby who has been born is Savior, is the Christ, and is the Lord. They begin to evangelize. They don't keep the message to themselves, but immediately they need to share it. This is good news. And what do with good news? You share it. You pass it on. And notice verse 18. This is what we're going to focus on for the second point. And all who heard it, look what it says. It says they wondered. In other words, they were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The wonder at Jesus, the wonder, the amazement of the shepherd's message of Jesus. That's the second thing we see. As the shepherds proclaim Christ, as the shepherds testify about Christ, as the shepherds are telling others that Messiah, the Savior, the Lord of all, Jesus has just been born, everyone who hears, they're blown away. They're in awe. They're in wonder. They're with their mouths open and their eyes open, blown away that God became a man to save mankind from their sins. The message of the birth of Jesus leaves everyone in wonder and amazement and in awe. You know, one of the dangers when we come to this time of the year, and I will just share this personally, one of the dangers that I have is at times the message of Christmas, at times the danger is that it can get a little old for you. And this is what I mean. Please don't misunderstand me. I was raised in the church, and I have heard about the Christmas message, and I have read the Christmas story, and I have heard the Christmas messages and sermons all my life. And the danger is every Christmas to lose the wonder, to lose the amazement of the story. And so the idea is that the danger is you can say, I already have heard it. I already know it. I already know what it's about. And it doesn't affect you anymore. It doesn't impact you. It doesn't do anything to you. You maybe ponder the message, or you maybe reflect on the scriptures, or maybe you're just looking at a manger scene. And the danger, the temptation is not to be affected. And there's no wonder. There's no amazement. There's no excitement. There's no more tears. There's no more emotion. And that's the danger. The danger is to lose your wonder of Christ. And the more you serve the Lord, the more you follow Jesus, the greater the danger will be. You know, my heart breaks. My heart just breaks when I see people at church, at this church, who have been here since I was small, 20, 30 years, and I see them and they're so dead. That always breaks my heart. The Lord knows that sometimes I'll weep when I'm alone just thinking about those brothers who when I was small, they were like my example. They were like the heroes, and God used them, and they were in ministry just serving the Lord, excited for Jesus. And now you look at them, and they're so dead. They're so dead. They rarely come to church. They don't serve in anything. There's no life. There's no excitement. There's nothing. And sometimes I think, man, what happened? These were my heroes when I was small, and now they're dead. Now they're not doing anything. Now there's no interest. There's no passion. My heart breaks. Brothers and sisters like that. It's as if God always speaks to me and says, they lost the wonder for my son. They got too comfortable. The message got old for them. They lost the wonder. They don't understand what really happened, and it got old. It got old. There's no amazement. There's no astonishment. They read that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and it's nothing for them. It's I already know that. I've already heard that. I've already read that. There's no wonder for Jesus. And fam, the exhortation, the application is never lose your wonder when it comes to Christ. Never lose your wonder. Never lose sight of how amazing this story is. That God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the seas, the sovereign Lord of the universe, he humbled himself and he took upon a human nature. And he was born into this world, fully God, perfectly man, two natures, divine and human, united in the person of Jesus Christ. If that doesn't blow your mind, nothing will. Nothing. Well, that's amazing. And I'll be honest with you, I love just thinking and reflecting on this message. And I love just feeling overwhelmed. I love feeling overwhelmed. You know, there's times when I talk theology, I'll talk the doctrine with people, I'll talk about the Trinity, about the sovereignty of God, about the election of God and the free will of man. And at times, you know, people respond to me, man, I don't want to think about all that, man. It's going to make my head explode. And whenever I think about that, I said, man, I want my head to explode. I want to be blown away. I want there to be this mystery, this awe, this amazement. It is amazing. It is weighty stuff. It's deep. Praise God. I want something deep. I'm tired of the shallowness of this world. I'm tired of shallow conversation. I need depth in my life. I need substance. I need something that's going to fill me, that's going to make me whole. Blow my mind, God. Blow my mind. I want wonder. I want to be blown away. want to be just blown away by God. You know, I remember I heard just the amazing testimony once of a Christian scientist, a Christian speaker slash scientist. And he was literally at one of the biggest universities in this world. And he was giving a lecture on intelligent design. And he was literally just showing how everything in creation is testimony to a designer. That everywhere we look, there's design. And that comes from a designer, ultimately God. And literally in this presentation, he's showing the human body and he's showing the cell and the cell structure. And he's just showing all the evidence and all the facts. And he's just blowing away the people's mind about how detailed and how designed our human bodies are. And literally, when he's finished, you know, this brother, he's just so blown away. He's so amazed at God's creation that, no joke, he literally takes out his guitar and he literally begins to sing a worship song. And literally he says, "That's all I can do. I just have to worship. I'm blown away by God. I'm blown away by the Creator." And literally in a room full of scientists, atheists, agnostic, he takes out his guitar and he begins just to worship God. And when I heard that testimony, when I heard that story, I was just so impacted, because that's what I want. I want to know God to such a degree that my only response is worship and wonder. The reason why so many find church boring is they don't know God. They don't know God. They don't understand who Jesus is. The reason why so many Christians, man, they come to church and it's just to catch up on sleep. And sometimes we see people just snoring and yawning, and it's because they don't know God. They don't understand what God has done. Because when you truly understand it, and I'm not saying I'm there, I'm still learning, fam. But when you truly understand, this is what God has done for you in Christ, believe me, there's no yawning. There's no lukewarmness. There's no looking at your watch during the message. There's no staring at the walls during prayer. There's no excuses during church services. You're just so blown away at Jesus that all you want to do is just worship him. It's a pure worship. A pure worship. There's no other motivation other than you're blown away at God. And all you can do is take out a guitar and worship him. And that's what we see. They're in wonder of the message of the shepherds. They're just blown away. They're literally just eating it all up. Messiah came, Jesus, Savior, Christ, Lord, was born in a manger. All they can do is just be amazed at what God was doing. And fam, that should be our response. Be amazed at God. Be blown away at what God has done. Never lose your wonder for Jesus. Never lose your wonder. Fight for it. Fight for your relationship. Fight for your passion. Fight for your interest to Jesus. It doesn't come natural. You have to fight for it. It doesn't come easy. There's things in your life that they want to get in the way. There's distractions. There's people. There's family members. There's coworkers that want to drown out that spark. You gotta fight for it. You gotta guard it. You got to add fuel to it. Never lose your wonder for Jesus. Don't be that person who right now, man, people admire your faith and are encouraged by your faith. But in 20 years, they're going to look at you and say, what happened? Don't be that person. Don't be that person that in 20 years, they're going to say, what happened to that brother? Man, he was always serving. He was always worshiping the Lord. He was always here helping. He was the first person I met who welcomed me. Don't be that person that people say, what happened? They lost the wonder. Keep it going by the grace of God. Keep it going. Let me finish, fam. Notice third, the glorifying of Jesus. The shepherds finish praising and glorifying Jesus. And notice verse 20. And so they encounter Jesus. They experience Jesus personally. And then they begin to share. They begin to witness, and everybody is just in wonder, amazement at their message. And now notice verse 20, and the shepherds returned. I just love that text. That I was just meditating on it all day, because the idea there is they have to go back to the real world. They have to go back to work. Amen? You have to go back. You know, at times the temptation is, man, I just want to always be at church. I love Sundays. I love the environment. I love sensing God's presence. I love hearing the word. There is this joy, this energy, this rush, this excitement. And a lot of times it's like, I just want to stay. I want to kind of just get away from everyone and just go to a mountain and just worship God and read my Bible all day. And sometimes there's that temptation, but notice you have to return. You receive, we gather to worship, but then we have to scatter. We have to scatter to witness. You have to go back to the real world. You can't stay in a Christian bubble. God didn't save us for we could start a Christian club, a Christian bubble. But God saved us that we might gather to worship, but then we got to scatter. God wants to use you at that work, at that job, at that environment. And so they return. You have to return. You have to be around non-believers. They need what you have. But notice how they return. Notice, they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the idea. They have an encounter with Jesus, and they leave and they share that message. They preach, they evangelize, and then they return to their jobs, and they return different. They return different. And now we would say, now they're believers. Now they believe. Now they've come to place their faith and trust in this child. They believe he's Savior. They believe he's the Christ. They believe he's Lord. He's God in human flesh. They believe that they just saw God wrapped in human flesh. And it changes them. Their faith changes them. There's a transformation. And they return glorifying God, praising God. And I've always loved that description, because that's what happens when you have an encounter with Jesus. You have an encounter with Jesus, and you never return the same. You never return in the same way. But there's a change. There's a transformation that takes place. And I've always loved this description because really the idea here is Jesus. This is why he came. This is why he came. It's almost as if from the first moments of his birth, we're already getting a taste of what he's going to do. He's going to change people. This child will change the world. And these shepherds, they're like a preview of things to come. That God wants you to see, hey, this is why I sent my son. My son will change people. My son will transform people. People will leave the presence of my son different. People will be changed by him. People will be transformed by him. People will encounter him and they will not return the same person, but they will return glorifying God and praising God. My son will turn people into worshipers who will worship God in spirit and in truth. And here Luke gives us a preview of things to come. And Luke wants us to understand this is why he came and this is what he does. He changes people. He transforms people. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a renewed mind. He gives you a new destiny, new hope. That's why he came. And that's what Christmas is all about. And the good news is, 2,000 years later, he's still changing people. He's still transforming people. People are still seeking him by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, finding him, and they're being transformed. And I'm one of them. Many of you are also a testimony, like these shepherds, of the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel told Joseph, his name will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation. God, the Lord, is my salvation. And that name, that was prophetic of Jesus' life, of Jesus' ministry. He came to save. He came to redeem. He came to transform. And the good news is he still goes by the name of Jesus. And he's still transforming. And he's still redeeming. And he's still liberating captives. And he's still encouraging the downcast. He's still giving hope to the hopeless. He's still healing the sick. He's still reaching out to the lost. Because his name is Jesus. And that's just what he does. God bless you, fam. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord? God bless you. Let's stand in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask my brother to come on up. We're going to be partaking of communion this afternoon, fam. But before we do, I just want to pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. And we want to thank you for these shepherds, Lord. I personally, Lord, of every character in the Christmas story, I personally relate most to these shepherds, Lord. These shepherds are my kind of people, Lord, because, man, they were the downcast. They were the downcast. They were the rejected. They were the despised of the society, Lord. They weren't the rich. They weren't the famous. They weren't the social elite. They weren't even the religious leaders of the day, but they were just humble, simple shepherds. But Lord, that first Christmas, the first group you sent the message to were these shepherds, Lord. And that just teaches us so much about your heart, God. That your heart is for the downcast. Your heart is for the rejected and the depressed and the discouraged and the outcast. That's your heart, Lord. That's your heart. You want to save. And Lord, I believe that right now amongst us, there's probably someone who's feeling rejected, who's feeling downcast. There's someone who's come and they're hurting. They're hurting, God. There's needs. There's needs in their lives. There's needs in their marriage. There's needs at the home. Some have physical needs. Their health is not good. They're battling with so many ailments. Some have financial needs. They're barely making it. They're struggling. And they're feeling the weight of debt and the weight of not having enough. Some have emotional needs. They were hurt when they were small. They were abandoned at a young age. They battle with depression. They battle with pain. They battle with loss. This sanctuary is filled with needs. It's filled with needs. Lord, the only one who can help, it's you, Lord. You're the only one who goes by the name of Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. And you're the only one, Lord, who can save us. And today, Lord, we bring every need before you. And we ask, Lord, that you would save. We ask, Lord, that you would extend your mighty hand, that you would have mercy. Lord, have mercy on our lives. Lord, have mercy on our situation. Have mercy, Lord, on our loved ones. Lord, I know, Lord, I know that there are some here that have loved ones, that have family members in a bad place. In a bad place. Some their family members are locked up. Some their family members are lost in drug addiction, alcoholism. Some have family members that, man, they're just filled with anger. They're filled with anger and they're always exploding. Lord, there's just so much needs. It's overwhelming for us, Lord. We don't have the answer. We're not the solution, Lord. We believe you are. We believe you are, Lord. And we give you every need, Lord. We give you every burden, every struggle, every battle. How many would just raise your hands with me and say, Lord, I give you all my needs. All my needs, Lord. Oh, Lord, we give you everything. We give you all of our needs, all of our problems, Lord, all of our struggles, everything we go through, everything we battle, Lord, everything, Lord, we give to you. We believe that your name is Jesus. We believe, Lord, that you came for people like us. You came for shepherds, the rejected, the despised, the downcast, the humble, the simple, Lord. You came for lost people. Like us, Lord. And we just give you. We give you everything, Lord. Take everything. Take all these needs. We cast our burdens. We lay our burdens at your feet. Because, Lord, we believe you care for us. We believe, Lord, that you have the power. You have the power to meet our needs. And to do a work in our heart. In our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to never lose that wonder. Help us to never lose that amazement. Help us, Lord, not to be in 20, 25 years that brother, that sister, that people say, what happened? Oh, God, keep us. Keep us from dead religion. Keep us from just going through the motions, but touch our hearts, Lord. Touch our hearts. Fill us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Wake us up if we need to be woken up. Shake us up. Touch our lives that there would be excitement, that there would be wonder for Jesus. We don't want to lose our wonder, Lord. That's something we don't want, Lord. Do that work, Lord. Do that work and do it all for your glory. At this time, fam, we're going to partake of communion. And so...